I was thinking about this week, and you'll see why in a moment, but life is a series of plans. Now, people like to have a plan for their life, but if you think about it, every day is broken down into plans. You plan to get up at a certain time, and you plan to eat something or not, and you plan to leave at a certain time or not, to get to work or school, and you plan to come home. You have Christmas plans. What are you planning? What are you going to do? You have plans for vacations, for school, for work. I mean, it's a series of plans. And what's critical to plans is timing. If you don't get up on time, you probably won't leave on time, and you'll probably be late for wherever you're going. Timing is critical. And all too often, our plans don't go as planned. And it's usually because something was off in the timing, or you feel like you got someplace just at the wrong time, or signed up for something, or looked for something, or shopped for something, and you missed whatever. Other times our plans, well, they do go according to plan. Either way, if you think about it that way, life is a series of plans, and timing is critical. And whether your plans tend to go how you want them to or not, I'm bringing this up because I would like you to think about God's perfect plan that is brought about at Christmas time. And to think about that every time you're either psyched because things went according to plans, or you're bummed or frustrated because things are not going according to plan, one way or the other. But Christmas is about God's plan happening just when he had determined it would happen, brought about at just the right time to bring about, yes, dare I say it, I know it's kind of almost so common of a phrase at this point, it doesn't mean much, but it should. His perfect timing to bring about his plan of the greatest gift. Reconciliation to him that any who believe in this one born that night and put in a feeding trough would become children of the living God. I just want to look at a couple of verses in Galatians tonight, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. And join me in prayer, if you would, before we read that. Father in heaven, you are never frustrated, never thwarted in your plans. You're never lacking for a plan for what to do. You're not guessing. You don't have to come up with alternatives. You are God and there is no other. And the more we study this world, the more we realize how perfectly placed this ball of dirt and water has to be with the moon and the sun in order for everything to work the way it works. And the more we study the human body or ecosystems, everything has to be just right. And you have brought that about because you are God. Your way is perfect. Your will is perfect. Your plan is perfect. And as we look to your word now and consider for a moment that Christmas is the manifestation of the plan you had before the foundation of the world, you would grant us to see that, to see you, to know you, to lay our plans and desires at your feet, and to come to you through your Son and rejoice in your provision, your gift for us that we could be your sons and daughters. Father, may your word go forth in our hearts and minds now, and may you bless us, have mercy upon us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In Galatians chapter 4, just a little bit of background, one of the few letters in the New Testament that doesn't start out with any, I thank God for you, and I'm so encouraged by what's going on with you after I heard the report from so-and-so. It starts out with a rebuke because they were turning from God's perfect plan of reconciliation to him through faith in his son to their own works, to thinking that they could follow the Old Testament law and be righteous and good in God's eyes. And so we find this passage here in the context of a letter that was given as a rebuke. Rebukes are good when they are deserved. This rebuke was deserved by them, and it affords for us this passage here, these couple of verses, chapter 4, verse 4 of Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, speaking to the Galatians who had professed faith in Christ, he says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Go back up to verse 4, just a couple of things through these verses. When the fullness of time had come, in other words, not too soon, not too late, when everything was in place at just the right time. I mean, how many of our plans work out that way? Some do. Some people don't even plan for certain things to happen, and it happens just the right time. I've seen some of those video clips of cameras that have caught people stepping onto a sidewalk just as like a bus loses control and crashes and they're unscathed. They stepped on the sidewalk at just the right time. Or they're walking along a sidewalk and some large item that was being hoisted up to an apartment crashes to the side in just the right time. Sometimes you're looking for a parking spot and some place where you're not thinking you'll even find one, and someone pulls out just when you get there. That's the idea, but this is an idea not of chance, not of luck, but of what used to be called providence, God's planning. Because in order for this child to be born of a virgin under the law and redeem any who would believe in him, so much had to take place with Israel, the giving of the law, the being in the promised land, the being delivered over to their enemies because they did not trust that God knew what was best, and then being somewhat restored in the land again, having a temple where they were offering sacrifices, where we met Simeon and Anna earlier in the scripture reading. So much had to be in place. And when God had that all in place, the fullness of time had come, just the right time, he sent forth his son. Now, he sent forth his son because his son already existed. God has always existed as Father, Son, and Spirit. That's not as clear in the Old Testament. When you read back at the Old Testament after having the New Testament, you see things in there that go, oh, that makes sense. But the eternal Son, God the Son, was sent forth to be born of a woman. That happened in time and at just the right time. Born of a woman, that's the reference to Mary. Doesn't say born of a man. She had a husband, but he was not the father. The Holy Spirit was the father. This child was fully God and fully man. Just the right man to do the job because he's God and he's just one of us, just like us, one of us also. So born of a woman and born under the law. He was a Jew. He still is, actually. He's still God in a bod, though a resurrected one. But born under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, ladies, don't be offended by the fact that it says sons there. That includes you. And it also means, in terms of the honor and the closeness of relationship, there is no distinction as far as gender is concerned. That at just the right time, God sent forth his one and only son who became one of us, born of a woman, crying, walking around like my granddaughter, growing up, fully a human man who then would die on the cross. But God did that according to his plan in his perfect timing for the purpose of providing a means of becoming God's children, sons and daughters. My kids lately have had ample reason to notice that there are more and more broken homes and heart-wrenching stories about friends, parents, or lack thereof for various reasons. And that is heart-wrenching. And it is heartbreaking. But whether we grew up with mom and dad there or not, whether we have a wonderful home life on this earth or not, the one who made us in his image can be our father. One who will never end up in the hospital on his deathbed. One who will never fail to be there for us how we need. Not necessarily how we want, but how we need. But that had to be paid for. The word redemption is here. Verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law. There had to be a payment made, and the law displays that. The law given to Moses, most of us are familiar with the Ten Commandments, right? The law given to Moses was not, do this, in other words, be good, and then I will be your God and you'll be my people. No, what he was saying to the Israelites was, I am your God. I already delivered you out of slavery in Egypt. I'm your God, and I'm going to live in your midst. But if I'm going to live in your midst, you have to be holy like I am holy. Here's my standard of holiness. And here's all the sacrifices you need to offer because you can't live up to that. But I'm providing a way for you to live with me in your midst through these sacrifices. But those sacrifices were placeholders. And a constant reminder that death is deserved for the rebellion, the disobedience, the failure to trust, the hatred towards God that every one of us lives out. From our first no to our mine to our selfishness on the freeway or at home or at work or whatever else we might do that puts ourselves first and others last. We have to be redeemed, purchased, and our rebellion paid for. And that provision is the Son of God born of a woman. And when did that happen? At just the right time. It wasn't plan B or C or D or E or F or, hey, let's give this one a shot. I got an idea. How about my eternal son? How about you? What do you think? Let's talk about this. Okay, yeah, let's give this a try. You go become fully human. That was his plan all along. You don't have to turn there, but the very next letter has a similar phraseology in chapter 1, verse 10 of Ephesians. It says, well, I'll start in verse 7. In him we have redemption. This is in Christ. There's that word again. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And the uniting began or begins with a reconciliation to the Maker as Father. And that's why the Son of God was born of a woman, a Jewish woman, literally under the Jewish law, at just the right time. To bring about, there are no better words, the perfect gift. For what can be greater than to be right with the one who made us in his image and not cower before him in fear and guilt. But verse 6 of Galatians 4, be able to cry out, Abba, Father. Dad, Daddy or Papa, dear Father. That was God's plan all along. And his son is the center of that plan. Not an option, but the only way, God's way. And while maybe we would think, oh, well, maybe you should have done it now when we have video footage. Yeah, you know how many conspiracy theories there are out there about all kinds of things that are even caught on video? That wouldn't make any difference. And God knows what he's doing anyway. So it was just the right time. So the question for us tonight is verse 6 true of us? Are we sons and daughters of the living God? Have you at any time ever put your faith in that child born of that woman so long ago? And if you have already, that was no mistake. That was no mere chance or luck. That son was sent forth at just the right time. God knows what he's doing. If you've never done that, what are you waiting for? Waiting involves what? Time? And you're waiting, in your waiting, you assume you'll have more time. The reality is none of us knows. We don't know our day or our hour. No matter how young or old we are, we don't know if we've got another minute, another year. And I guarantee you, the amount of time that comes next is going to be a lot more time than any of us have ever lived. Where will that time be spent? In the very presence of our Abba Father? It can be, but that can also start right now. Eternal life, yes, my favorite verse, right? I got to plug it in there. Eternal life is not something that starts in the future, but it's now. Jesus in John 17 says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And not just know you as God, but as Father. And if verse 6 is true of you, of us, and because we are his children, we know that the Spirit of God then is in us, and we can call out to the Father no matter what time it is, no matter how plans are going. And I want to encourage us, myself included, plenty of times my plans don't go like I want them to. But to use either plans going like we wanted them to, or things not going according to plan, as a continual opportunity to be reminded that God has brought about his perfect plan at just the right time. And that's what we should be, we are, celebrating at Christmas. Now, as far as timing goes, I don't think he was actually born on December 25th. But once a year, we take the time to celebrate that perfect timing and what God brought forth through his son's willingness and now is sealed upon the one who believes in him by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, from my human perspective, I hope, little h, your Christmas plans and your plans in general are going well. But whether they are or not, God's plan has been brought about perfectly. And I need to remember that when everything else is or isn't going according to plan. And you children are probably waiting for the time when you get to open gifts, right? You're waiting for that time to come and there's much anticipation, the greatest gift has already been opened and offered. Remember that as you anticipate opening your presence, if you're going to be doing that. And consider what the greatest gift is, that you as a son or daughter right now in a home would be the son or daughter of the living God through faith in that one born of a woman at just the right time. Join me in prayer. Father, I confess I'm more often than not disappointed that things aren't going according to my plan. I like things planned and orderly. Tend to be a perfectionist. Praise be to you that you've brought about your plan at just the right time to provide for any and all to be adopted as your sons and daughters through faith in your Son. And I thank you for him, for Jesus Christ, your Son, the God-man, for being able to talk to you right now and call you Father, and that by the very presence of your Holy Spirit. Unreal, hard to grasp, and yet it is real. You are real. You are God, and there is no other. Thank you that we have heard about your plan, your perfect timing. May you have mercy upon each one of us here to trust you, to entrust our lives into your hands through faith in your one and only Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.